The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! This is the Thunderbolt for July 15th, 2022. I've got a set of reruns for you, mostly centered on media. Enjoy! So I just listened to an interview with a journalist who claims that studies have proven that people are really lousy lie detectors. Actually, I already knew this. From endless anecdotal evidence I have been seeing for my entire life. And I also know this because I happen to be an exception to that rule, in that with notable exceptions, I can often tell when people are lying to me, and I have often noted most other people's seeming inabilities in this area. Evidently, there is survival value in trusting people, since so many people tend to do so. But the fact also remains that people's inability to detect lies also plays right into the hands of the fascists, however innocently. I'm not lying, believe me. Fortunately, there has been so much overwhelming evidence that has surfaced lately that by this point nearly everyone understands that the government constantly lies to us nearly all the time. Indeed, this was one of the many reasons why the rump won the election. Like Barack Obama, the rump was able to fool a whole bunch of people into thinking that he was battling against the machine rather than being himself one of the most corrupted parts of the machine. He lied, in other words. The Republicans have always been on board with the imperialism machine. And then Barack Obama succeeded at pretty much single-handedly killing the anti-war movement on the left. And so now, rather than fighting the war machine, everyone is instead fighting each other on behalf of the war machine. And the talking mouths on the media machine play their role by pretending to be impartial commentators, even when the facts are all on one side. And thus, we are currently having a years-long debate about global climate change and fossil fuels' responsibility for that change, just as we had a decades-long debate about whether cigarettes cause cancer, even though the facts were hidden right in front of everyone's eyes for the entire time. And it's the same with this impeachment circus. The Rump has indeed committed a large number and a wide variety of impeachable offenses.
Dude with a leprechaun, full of trickery, but it went a bit too far.
And I made him not a rugby.
Dude with a leprechaun, a twinkle in his eye, always smiling sweetly.
And in spite of that indisputable fact, the Republicans simply deny that the Rump has committed any offenses. And so the media machine, in their pretended dedication to impartiality, simply repeat this lies as if they were credible arguments. To a large portion of the American populace, the truth has become whatever the Rump says it is. And the man is a pathological liar. On January 7th, there was an attempted military coup in Gabon. The very first move they made was to seize the National Radio Building. It also turned out to be their very last move, as government troops quickly retook the building.
The moon is a drop in a black hole. The sun is a hell of a light. But nobody's blue is brighter than the blue of my baby tonight. A man is a snake in the island. Baby do is making him rich. A man is a dog in the jungle. His heart is an empty fridge.
They focused first on the National Radio Building, because they knew that the media is the number one tool for winning hearts and minds.
The moon's a drop in the black hole. The sun is a hell of a light. A man in Manhattan, my ice cold. My doom's out of sight.
To quote Ani DiFranco, any tool is a weapon, depending upon how you hold it. That is why media is so important. And that is why free speech is so important. Yes, kids, there are so many things to be worried about these days.
Must be voodoo.
That it is frankly quite overwhelming.
I'm in danger.
In choosing topics for this show, it sometimes seems as if I am engaged in triage, trying to focus on only the most serious wounds, and being forced by necessity to ignore some of the other less grievous, if still existential, threats. Of all of them, though, I consider the manipulation of the public perception to be our number one issue right now. The facts are all out there. and the facts lay bare what is really going on around here. But no one knows those facts. Or if they do know them, they have been trained to dismiss them as conspiracy theories or tinfoil hat conjectures. If people don't even know what is happening, then of course they won't be able to do anything about what is happening. And this literal weaponization of information itself is a five-alarm development, and it continues apace. While to some this issue may seem to be a relatively minor one compared to, say, climate change or nuclear war, actually, the info wars are in some ways even more important than climate change or nuclear war. Because what we think of climate change and nuclear war, and thus what we do about climate change and nuclear war, depends wholly upon what kind of information we are getting about climate change and nuclear war. Some people, for instance,
the moon is a drop in a black hole. The sun is a hell of a lot.
Deny the existence of climate change. And they wonder why, if we have nuclear weapons,
man is a frog in the jungle. Baby do is a hell of a witch.
What? Then why can't we use them? Yes, kids. This meme warfare thing is very real, and it will only gain pace in 2019 because, frankly, it's working.
The sun is a hell of a light. A man on a hell of an ice coat. Baby, do is shaking his mind.
If it weren't working, the machine wouldn't spend so much of its time and money making sure that it controls every aspect of what we know and believe.
I'm a danger.
Especially in the fields of news,
your jungle,
and entertainment.
I'm a stranger.
If it weren't vitally important,
blend of mumbo,
the machine would not spend so much of its time and money admonishing us.
Must be voodoo.
As to why we should actually take all of their pathetic political puppets seriously. Now that Facecrack and YouTube are being exposed for propagating propaganda, the proposed solution is for them to start censoring our information in manners that are approved by the government. Lest the government start censoring them for us. We are being manipulated by a bunch of thoroughly nasty people who shape our world as if it were their little private toy. And what sucks even more is that it is in-your-face obvious that our lives mean absolutely nothing to them. Their regard for us is similar to that of a rancher regarding his cattle. They don't hate us. They simply don't care about us. And all of this is actually good news, because since they do spend so much time and money manipulating what we think, then what that means is that what we think is still important. And I would posit the reason that what we think is still very important is because they need us and we don't need them. And they very desperately do not want us to figure that out. And that is why they constantly seek to keep us terrified of each other. That way, We are constantly fighting with our actual allies rather than with our true enemy. The machine trains us to go jump into their arms whenever we are terrified, and thus we seek aid and comfort from the very people that are actually the ones that we should actually be terrified of. Ingenious. The only time they ever take us seriously is when they are forced to take us seriously. And the only time they are forced to take us seriously is when we start breaking out torches and pitchforks. Yes, kids, preventing us from uniting against them is the central focus of nearly everything that they do in the media. So ask yourself why that is, and then ask yourself what we can do about it. If you were to ask most people what the opposite of love is, most of them will answer that the opposite of love is obviously hatred. Well, I would beg to differ. Hatred is actually a very passionate thing. Hating someone or hating something actually represents a very deep emotional investment. And I would suggest that hatred is not only not the opposite of love, but that hatred is actually closely related to love.
Jesus saw the pain of the things done in his name. He packed his suitcase and his golf clubs, filled his pockets full of grain. He said to hell with all of this, then he blew a farewell kiss to the all-knowing this quite stressful while ignorance is bliss.
I would suggest that the opposite of love is not hatred. No, I would define the opposite of love as indifference. I would suggest
from the video store
that the opposite of love
called Our Lady Liberty, a greasy little whore,
is simply not caring.
The president's reacting like an old misguided moil. I'll see you on the other side as our heads implode from bombing pride. Try to remember these words. Ignorance is bliss.
So I just listened to James Corbett riffing on how our activism must be motivated by outrage over what they do rather than by hatred of them for what they do. Hatred can blind people, such as blind hatred. Hatred can distract you from the things that are actually important. Hatred can cause you to lose sight of the bigger picture and start focusing on petty irrelevancies. Hatred can also elevate the object of your hatred to a level of importance that it or they do not really deserve. Mr. Corbett used Glenn Beck as a classic example. Beck for several years. Mr. Beck would say some outrageous crap on his TV show, and the next day, every liberal media outlet, from Huffington Post to The Daily Show to Democracy Now, would headline their own show with whatever crap Glenn Beck had said the night before. They could have simply refuted the many factual errors Mr. Beck was so widely noted for making, but instead, they chose to elevate Glenn Beck to an exalted celebrity status by paying so much attention to him. As long as everyone was focusing on Glenn Beck, no one was paying any attention to the fact that Barack Obama was transferring our national treasury over to Goldman Sachs, or that Barack Obama was committing a wide variety of truly heinous war crimes every single day. Everyone was instead being distracted by some BS that Glenn Beck said. Glenn Beck eventually left Faux News and started doing his own thing. And everyone simply stopped paying any attention to him. I suspect that most of the people that perpetrate all of the evil crap that is going on are not inherently evil people. I suspect that most of them are merely adapting to their environment.
He's a killing machine. He stands 7 feet tall, made out of hate and muscle and bone.
Which is exactly what you're supposed to do if you want to survive. Species that are able to do this are rather famous for that, in fact. The banksters and the war profiteers are playing the game by the rules that were set up by people such as John D. Rockefeller. So you can say what you like about John D. Rockefeller. And I have had a lot to say about Mr. Rockefeller myself, for that matter. But the fact is that John D. Rockefeller could not have done what he did without our cooperation and assistance. Even if that assistance was rendered out of ignorance and or under a false premise. The only reason they can get away with this crap is because everyone pays entirely too much attention to them.
A lot of people try to put us in the ground, and now there's a lot more debt.
When they say something, everyone takes it seriously and acts upon it. If everyone simply started ignoring them, though, then they would no longer be able to do much of anything. The thing is that we need to do it all at once. And most people are not even aware of the fact that all this stuff is going on. Most people are good people. Most people would be outraged if they only knew what was really going on. Their ignorance is the only reason they continue to take these people seriously rather than drumming them out into the streets. We don't need to destroy them or kill them. We don't even need to hate them. We simply need to make them irrelevant. For now, though, they are entirely too relevant because too many people are still paying too much attention to what they say. And so until we do manage to marginalize them to irrelevancy, then yes, be outraged. Call them out. Expose their perfidy. Condemn what they do. If the problem is that most people simply don't know, then tell them. Provide them with the resources to find out for themselves. Whatever. I would merely suggest that rather than being motivated by hatred of what we are, we should instead be motivated by love of what we could become. Ultimately, that choice is ours. We can continue living in our comfortable little bubble world until it is burst, or we can work to become all that we could be. And ultimately, that choice is ours. It's time for a quick station break. We'll be back in just a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. And so, we're going to start off this piece with
the beating of a drum.
One of the most brilliant scenes from the novel 1984 is when Winston is being tortured because Big Brother wants him to say that 2 + 2 = 5. After a couple of zaps from the old zapper, Winston quickly gives in and says, okay, 2 + 2 = 5. Whereupon, Big Brother zaps him again. But I said that 2 + 2 = 5. I said what you wanted me to say. Whereupon Big Brother replied, I don't want you to merely say it. I want you to believe it. Whereupon, he zaps Winston again. So I have riffed often on this radio show about how research has shown the only way to really change someone's mind on a given subject, especially if we're talking about firmly held beliefs that are intimately tied into someone's very identity. It's if you appeal to their emotional circuits rather than to their logic. And I am thinking that torture would probably light up that old emotional circuitry just fine. Thank you. So Wikipedia has a most excellent page dedicated to common misperceptions, i.e. common things that a lot of people think that they know that are actually totally wrong. So what do you think that you know? Did you know that Napoleon was not actually short? Did you know that Thomas Edison did not actually invent the light bulb? I actually did know that, since I had come across that fact during my research into Edward Bernays. Yes, while Edison didn't invent the light bulb, he did have Edward Bernays doing his PR work for him. Meaning that in this case, the mere facts concerning the invention of the light bulb did not really matter when it came to the credit. And more importantly, to the profit that was to be derived from said invention. And another thing about facts is that people will often pass new information on to others quickly and unquestioningly if that information reinforces their already established worldview. But the same people will be highly skeptical and far less likely to pass on that new information if it conflicts with that already established worldview. And that is one of the reasons that false facts can quickly become so popular, especially in this era of face crack. You are also much less likely to fact check information that reinforces your already established view. Articles in The Onion are often passed along in social media as facts. At various points recently, right-wingers believed that liberals were going to build an abortion supercenter, and left-wingers believed that NASCAR was paying their drivers to make homophobic remarks in public. If anything, liberals seem to be even worse than conservatives are at doing this. Research is now showing that when confronted with facts that challenge basic core worldviews, that this will actually trigger a threat response from the amygdala and your brain will often assume a defensive fight or flight posture. In addition, when you do absorb a new fact, that fact does not just go into your brain and sit there all by itself. It must be absorbed into a nearly infinite network of other facts and beliefs and emotions. And this new fact has to fit somewhere within that already established framework. If it does not fit anywhere within that already established framework, then it is very likely to be discarded. It has been found that when confronted with irrefutable evidence that vaccines do not cause autism, people who believed that it did cause autism often believed that even more after learning of the fact, and thus merely presenting them with the facts actually exacerbated the problem. And speaking of emotions, they play an absolutely vital role in all of this. For the fact is that cognition itself is an emotion. Emotional bias in your filtering of information is unavoidable. And you wouldn't really want to avoid it even if you could, because you would not be making truly cognitive decisions if that were the case. However, this means that all of us filter our perception of the world through what researchers call motivated reasoning. We are heavily biased against facts that are contrary to our identity. Things such as our political or religious views. But we tend to lack such skepticism when it comes to facts that reinforce that identity. Most people's identity is not tied up into whether or not Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. They will often readily accept that fact. However, when it comes to accepting the irrefutable fact that both of our major political parties are utterly corrupt and wholly owned subsidiaries of various criminal gangs of corporate mass-murdering psychopaths, well, not so much. There is strong research proving that when a strong yet erroneous belief is challenged with factual information, then while there may be some temporary weakening of these convictions and or some lessening of certainty, most people will very soon thereafter rebound from all of that. And not only will the new information ultimately fail to change their belief, but most people actually tend to dig in and believe it even more. Any serious challenges to their core belief system will often serve only to widen and to deepen their erroneous belief. This phenomenon is common. It has often been studied, and it even has its own name. It is called the backfire effect. Now, these human tendencies are all the more problematic in that political and religious beliefs are amongst the hardest type of belief to change. Whereas people are often willing to concede that Thomas Edison did not invent the light bulb when they are presented with the overwhelming evidence, not so much when it comes to a firmly held belief that climate change is an elitist hoax, or that Donald Trump is going to make America great again. Nature magazine has an article that covers all of this. It's at nature.com, and the article is SREP39589. Again, that's SREP39589 in Nature magazine. And it's time to get to work now. Got a couple of tunes for you first. This first song is the first time a white band ever performed at the Apollo Theater in Harlem. This is Edgar Winter and the White Trash.
Thank you.
Edgar Winter has a brother. This is Johnny Winter. Out. That was Blady May from Johnny Winter. Before that, we had Free Ride from Edgar Winter, and we started off with Cool Fool from Edgar Winter. They're brothers, and they're both albinos, so they're not only white, they're very white. So that's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope to see you next week. And please keep in mind, Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, You should send an email to Dana 98501@gmail.com and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.